The following program is produced by the Living Church of God.
How can you become a true Christian, my friends? How can you receive God's Holy Spirit? And how can you receive the spiritual power through Jesus Christ living within you that you need? How can you really prepare for the awesome opportunities the great God has for you in His coming kingdom? Stay tuned.
Tomorrow's World. The Living Church of God presents Dr. Roderick C. Meredith, Richard Ames, bringing you the good news of your future in tomorrow's world. This week, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith asks, how can you become a true Christian? And now, Dr. Roderick C. Meredith.
My friends, why are the lives of so many people empty and without real purpose and excitement? Why is going to church boring to most people? Why is it that even the lives of most professing Christians don't really change? They don't change, they're just the same people, most of them. You know that. They may commit the same sins and have the same vanities they always had. My friends, many feel that Christianity is just a stodgy, old-fashioned belief system with no change in people, something that accomplishes very little. After all, many of the most horrifying wars in human history have featured one group of professing Christians fighting another group and butchering someone, perhaps even their own denomination. Picture the Second World War. Remember the Catholics and the Protestants on each side fighting one another. Picture the same thing, of course, in our American Civil War. Perhaps different people of the same church fighting one another. Sometimes they were actually cousins or brothers fighting one another. Most of them back then were going to church, too, and they were fighting and butchering people of their same church denomination. Does this sound like true Christianity? Think about it. Analyze it. What is the fruit of all of this? What's going on here? Has Christianity failed? Of course not. The honest truth is that real Christianity, listen to this, real Christianity has seldom been tried. Most people don't go to the Bible to get their beliefs. Most people don't try to literally imitate Christ. Most people don't try to do what He really taught. They just go along with whatever they were taught growing up in their particular group, their social group, their church, whatever. Notice Christ's warning about what would really happen. Matthew 24, turn there, check up on me, follow these scriptures in the Bible. You need to know what the Bible really says, my friends. Please follow me and you'll see. Matthew 24 and verse 3, now as Jesus sat on the Mount of Olives, His disciples came to Him privately saying, tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of Your coming and the end of the age? Not the end of Christ's ministry, not 70 A.D., but the end of the age. We're living at that time now. And Jesus said, take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in My name. They're going to use the name of Jesus. And they will deceive many. Many will come in My name, Jesus said, saying, I am the Christ. They will tell you, Jesus is the Christ. They will talk about His person. They will say, you've got to love Jesus. You've got to accept Jesus. But they will not tell you His message, His true gospel, His message that God sent from heaven, that they refuse to explain. And they just talk and get sentimental about His person. Many will come in My name, Jesus said, saying, I, Jesus, am the Christ, and they will deceive not a few, but the many. And that's very clear. And frankly, people don't understand that. They try to read it another way, but it does not say that. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the whole world. It says that in a number of places in the New Testament, that this is not God's world. Satan is the god of this world. Satan is the prince of the power of the air, the Apostle Paul said in Ephesians 2 and verse 2. God is not the one directly in charge in the sense of this earth's atmosphere. He's allowed Satan to be here for a while to test people. And many are not passing that test at all, are they? They're not even aware that there is a real Satan. Notice 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians, if you would. Follow me in your Bible. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 4, Paul writes, "For he who comes preaches another Jesus," notice this, "another Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit, a whole different attitude and approach toward Christianity, which you have not received, or a different gospel." They changed the gospel all around. "Which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." You need to find out what was really taught by Jesus. And we preach that on this program. And what was really taught back in the apostolic era. And we preach that because that has been changed. So what should you do about all of this? Turn to 1 Thessalonians, if you would. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21. It says in the King James Version, "Prove all things, hold fast that which is good." The New King James says, "Test." Either one is correct. You've got to put it to the test. Prove all things. Check up on these things in your Bible. See if it's what the Bible really says. Or test these things, whether or not they really work or not. Is the world's Christianity working? Why do they have all these Christians by the millions fighting one another down through time? All these broken homes, even in so-called Christian families, and all the other things that go on. What should you do, my friends? How can you become a real Christian? How can you, yourself, become a true Christian? How do you start the true Christian life? And think about it. Have you done that? Turn to Acts chapter 2 now, if you would. Acts chapter 2, and we find the answer in the inspired word of Almighty God. Acts 2 and verse 36, in this powerful Pentecost Day sermon that Peter was giving to help start the New Testament church, God's Spirit was being poured out, and Peter told those confused people this. He said, "Therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Then Peter said to them, get this, here's what they were to do, repent. Remember when John the Baptist came along, he said, repent. Bring forth good fruits for righteousness. When Jesus came along, he said, repent and believe the gospel. And here's the Apostle Peter coming along, and the very first words out of his mouth as far as what to do, he said, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. God's precious Holy Spirit will be given. For the promise of the Holy Spirit is to you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God will call. God's going to call people down through time. What is repentance? Repentance means, my friends, not just to be sorry. The Bible talks about worldly repentance. It's not just to be sorry. A drunk is often sorry on Sunday morning if he wakes up with a hangover after a Saturday night binge. That's not repentance. Repentance means to be so sorry that you realize that you've not only done wrong, but that you are wrong. It means to genuinely turn around and go the other way. Repentance means a real change. And that's what most people don't understand. People in the world out there go to these evangelistic meetings. And the minister often doesn't even mention repentance, but if he does mention repentance, he usually say, just believe, just believe. We don't need a law tonight, we need a Savior. We don't need a set of rules, we just need Jesus' blood. And that's not true. Jesus talked about a way of life. He told the young man, he said, if you would enter into life, keep the commandments. There's a way of life that Christ taught. And you need to repent of breaking and smashing that way of life. But you've got to repent of your sins. Because you're baptized, as it says here, for the remission of sins. And then you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So you're to repent, and you're to be baptized in the name and the authority of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, accepting Him as your Savior. You've got to have a deep, profound feeling about that, that you are in need of repentance, that you are genuinely sorry. You have broken God's laws. You have smashed God's ways of life. You've gone off. You're confused. You've not obeyed and followed the true God. You've left Him out of your life. And then you've got to repent, really repent, and decide to give your life to God in a profound manner. That's the beginning of the Christian life. At this point, my friends, I invite you to write for our eye-opening booklet entitled, Should You Be Baptized? This booklet explains the real meaning of baptism and of true conversion. This booklet will really help you understand how a true Christian should actually begin his life, his Christian life. Call now and request your free copy of this vital booklet, Should You Be Baptized?
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
Now back to our topic, how can you become a true Christian? Remember that the Apostle Paul warned about another Jesus and another gospel. Have you accepted a wrong gospel? Are you mixed up about what Jesus Christ actually taught and what his disciples taught? Again, my friends, we were in Acts 2:38, actually. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Here again, my friends, Peter is explaining the way to receive God's Spirit. The way to receive God's wisdom, God's love, God's power, because that's what God's Spirit is. Have you received God's Spirit? Have you had that help? Most have not really repented. Repentance, as Peter said, repent and be baptized. Most people were never really able to repent when they were baptized. They didn't know what it was. And many of us, like myself, were supposedly baptized as little children. I was held in my parents' arms, probably in my mother's arms, I understand, and was sprinkled. Someone sprinkled some just sprinkle water on me, and they call that baptism. Baptism means immerse, put into, plunge into. That's the very meaning of the word. It pictures burial, as we will show later on. How could I repent as a squalling little baby who did not even know his right hand from his left? Think about that. We've got to understand the Bible. We can't just play church, my friends. We're in a very dangerous time in our society. We're having wars, terrorist attacks, all kinds of things are going to get worse and worse and worse. And you and I need to be sure we are right with God and begin to seek God. This is not just another religious argument. You need to find out where the true God is and begin to seek that God and be willing to do what this book says. This book says you need to repent and then be baptized as a symbol of burial to give your life to God. So we need to understand all of this and act upon it. What is repentance? That's really turning around and going the other way. As I've said, being so sorry, you're willing to change. And that is the great failure, my friends, of most evangelism, because they talk about believe in the Lord, give your heart to the Lord, love Jesus, accept Jesus now, but they very seldom talk about repentance. And when they do talk about repentance, they don't say what it really is. As growing up in a very mainstream Christian church, so-called, I was taught that drinking and dancing and card playing might be sin. And they seem to be the important things, I know, to my old Methodist grandmother. That was the big deal. But my friends, that is not what God emphasizes in the Bible at all. Just what is sin? What should you actually repent of? Do you know? Turn to 1 John 3 and beginning in verse 4. God tells us what sin is. Sin is the transgression of the law. That's what sin is. Turn to that. Sin is lawlessness, as some modern translations have it, or sin is the breaking of the law. And throughout the book of 1 John, the law is clearly the Ten Commandments. It's not talking about washings and ordinances. It's talking about God's great spiritual law, the Ten Commandments. And this includes keeping the commandments, of course, in the letter and in the spirit. Because sin is not a thing, it's the wrong use of a thing. For instance, a lot of old-fashioned people used to think that sex was evil. But God doesn't say sex was evil. God made man and woman for marriage. Sex is a sin if it's a violation of the marriage covenant. Then sex becomes a sin. Can we understand that? A bottle of wine is not a sin. It's the wrong use of that to get drunk or to misuse something. That's what sin is. It's going against the basic law of God. And people often break God's law, in a sense, and some ministers try to use excuses to do away with God's law. But frankly, God's law is going to do away with them and do away with all of us if we don't repent. Because God's law stands inviolate. It's just like the law of gravity. It's set in motion. It works. You start committing adultery, and the echoing, the waves that go out, when that comes out, and it nearly always does, to your wife, your children, your in-laws, and a great circle of friends and relatives around you, that wave goes out and it hurts everyone it comes in contact with. And as more people do that, it hurts the whole society. It hurts the whole nation. It hurts the whole world. The same thing about murder. The same thing about war. The same thing about lots of things like that are really breaking God's law, because they hurt. And in the end, they will hurt you. So God's law is a living law, just like the law of gravity. And you've got to realize that you must repent of breaking God's law. You must repent of going the wrong way, of saying, here's the way I look at it, and of leaving God out of your life. And I'm talking about the God of the Bible, not some sentimental idea about Jesus. You should have right sentiment about Christ's blood, but you've got to learn to have a deep feeling, not about Jesus' person alone, but about what Jesus Christ actually said, what he lived for, what he taught, what he died for. We've got to have sentiment about that, deep, profound feeling about the message that God sent to this earth through Jesus Christ. Notice the book of James now, if you would. Turn to James here near the end of your New Testament also, like John. James chapter 2. Here's the Lord's brother writing, the brother of Jesus Christ. And he says in chapter 2 and verse 8, if you really fulfill the royal law, according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you know, you favor one group over another, or one person over another in the wrong way, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. Now, if the law of God is done away, if it's nailed to the cross, it could not convict anything, right? But you're convicted by God's law. For whoever shall keep the whole law, there are 10 points to the 10 commandments. Whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles in one point, he is guilty of all. For he who said, do not commit adultery, said also, do not murder. Now, if you do not commit adultery, but you murder, you become a transgressor of the law. Yes, you have. A murderer, in a sense, is still violating God's law, cutting himself off from God, even though he may not specifically violate the other commandments. That law is a complete law, the 10 commandments, 10 points. He said, if you break one point of the law, you break them all. Verse 12, so speak and so do as those who will be judged by the law of liberty. God's law is the law of liberty, my friends. It would teach us how to live. It would bring peace to the world. There would be no crime. There would be no violence. There would be no war if people really loved God with all their hearts and their neighbors as themselves. But most aren't doing that. We've got to repent of our ways. We've got to turn around and give our lives to God and let the real Jesus Christ of the Bible live his life within us. That's how you can become a Christian, if you'll make that kind of commitment and come to that kind of repentance. Notice now back in the book of Galatians, if you would. This is the book of Galatians, and I'm turning now to chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, beginning in verse 19. He's describing here the works of the flesh, the normal, carnal, selfish ways we get into. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery. He starts right off with sexual sins. That's the main thing many people do, especially, of course, adult people. Adultery, fornication, sex outside of marriage before they're married, a young person getting into that often. Uncleanness, all kinds of perversions. Licentiousness, a kind of a wild lifestyle. Idolatry, and many of our churches have idols, and people pray to saint this and pray saint that and pray before idols, and they don't even know the true God. Idolatry, and God condemns that, and many of our things become idols. We want bigger cars and bigger TVs and bigger houses and more of this and more of that. That becomes idolatry. Sorcery, Oh, we're having our, Harry Potter series coming out about sorcery. And people are getting excited about getting in touch with the spirit world. And what they're not taught about is that that is a bunch of garbage that is condemned by Almighty God directly in the Bible. And they need to be taught, these young people, about getting in touch with the true God, the God of creation, the God of the Bible, their Heavenly Father. And they're not taught very much about that. Sorcery. And that's something to repent of very much. And all those who produce that kind of thing. Hatred, contempt, jealousies, outbursts of wrath. People just all upset and mad. They won't control their temper. Selfish ambitions. I want more, so I'll crush you. These big businessmen that take advantage of others. And all kinds of others that do that. Selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, wrong teachings. That's a terribly dangerous thing. Wrong teaching. They won't teach what the Bible says. Envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries and the like, of which I've told you beforehand, as I tell you now, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They won't be there. We all have plenty to repent of, my friends, and we need to really turn around and give our lives to God in a profound way, yet realize that all these sins hurt others. They don't just hurt you, they hurt others. And God wants us to have a right kind of a life and a right kind of society if we're going to be members of His family and live forever in His kingdom. He won't let just anyone come. You know, the idea is come just as you are. No, you do not come just as you are. You can come to be baptized after you repent. But you repent first. That's what Peter said, repent. And then be baptized, be buried in the water as a symbol you're willing to change, you're willing to bury the old self. So becoming a true Christian is not just joining a church. Please understand that. It's not playing church and getting in a nice social club. It involves a total surrender of a human being to the true Jesus Christ of the Bible, to accept His sacrifice, His shed blood with deep humility, and surrender to Him as Lord and Master. Lord means boss, to let Christ live in you. Turn to Galatians 2:20 now. Turn back just a couple chapters, and I'll just quote this one because it's my favorite scripture, as some of you know. Galatians 2 and verse 20. Paul wrote, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I. It's not the old self living. Yet not I, Paul said, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. Yes, you've got to have Christ living His life in you. And we find in Hebrews 13:8, Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The power of the Holy Spirit will help you overcome your human nature. It will help you show more love and kindness to others. It will help you be the kind of person you really want to be. The Holy Spirit can change you. When you're really converted, then you will be using a power that God can give you to overcome your habits, to overcome your temper, to overcome your hates and your lusts, a power that you've never had. You will have the power to change. You will have the power to fulfill your human destiny. Again, be sure to call or write now and request our eye-opening booklet, Should You Be Baptized? This booklet really explains what proper baptism is and what it is not. And this booklet may change your life. Yet this booklet will be sent absolutely free upon your request. So call now. The operators are waiting.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free. No cost, no obligation. If you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579. That's 1-800-934-5579. Or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. With this offer, you will also receive your free subscription to Tomorrow's World magazine, full of timely articles and unique insights on today's important issues. No cost, no obligation to you. Call today.
My friends, let's turn now to the Apostle Paul's explanation of baptism in Romans, the 6th chapter. Turn with me to Romans 6, verse 1. Paul wrote, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin?" Remember, sin is law-breaking. Sin is breaking God's law, the Ten Commandments. Shall we keep on breaking the Ten Commandments that grace may abound? Certainly not, or God forbid, as the King James says. How shall we who died to sin live any longer therein? We can't live in sin. We can't live a life of breaking God's law. That is wrong. Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism. There it is. Baptism is a symbol of burial, of burying the old self down in a watery grave. Think of all the thousands of sailors that have been buried down through the ages. They lower them over the edge of a ship and bury them. Water can be a grave. You are buried with Christ in baptism, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. So baptism is a symbol of burial, putting your old self down under the water. In baptism, you totally surrender. You make a covenant with your Creator. Get that. You make a covenant with your Creator. You tell him, "Father, I am sorry for breaking your law. I'm sorry for going the wrong way. Please accept, you know, my repentance as I accept the death of your Son, his precious blood in my stead. And I surrender now to not turn from Christ's law and from your law, but to let Jesus live through me and keep your law, to keep your way of life, to walk with you, to give my life to you." Are you ready to make that kind of commitment, my friends? Are you ready to give your life to the Creator God through Jesus Christ? If you would like to meet with any of us or ask questions about baptism or anything about this work or about the Bible, act now. Take action on what we're giving you. Just give the operator your phone number slowly and clearly and tell him or her that you would like to talk to one of our representatives. No one will call unless you request this, and they will not come unless you make an appointment first. So please call if you would like a visit or would like to talk to someone. And they will set up an appointment somewhere at your convenience. Then you can ask the questions you want to about this work and meet with someone, perhaps for the first time, who is a true representative of the great God and understands the purpose of life. So if you'd like to meet with others of like faith, or if you'd like to ask questions about this work or discuss baptism, call now. I guarantee there will be no pressure to buy or to do anything whatever. In fact, we have nothing to sell ever. And again, be sure to call or write to request your free copy of our booklet. Should you be baptized, call now. Tune in every week, my friends, to Tomorrow's World television program. Each week, Richard Ames and I give you the meaning behind today's news and the meaning of life itself. See you right here next week.
This informative booklet is yours absolutely free, no cost, no obligation, if you call this toll-free number, 1-800-934-5579, or send your request to Tomorrow's World, P.O. Box 501-304, San Diego, California, 92150. We invite you to visit our webpage at tomorrowsworld.org. The preceding program was produced by the Living Church of God.